The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
The year is 1945, and things aren't going well for Hitler and the Third Reich. The footholds they established in Europe are now gone. Their disastrous attempted invasion of Russia the previous winter is nothing more than a joke at this point, and the Allies are knocking on Berlin's door. Time's up for Adolf Hitler, and everyone knows it.
Everyone that is but Hitler himself. As the walls begin to close in, he puts even more resources into developing many of his top secret projects that will help him turn the tide of the war. One of those projects being the Wunderwaffe, or Wonder Weapons. The prize of the lot? A bell-shaped machine capable of destroying everything and everyone in its path, simply by activating it. It turns human blood to gel and vegetation to useless black grease.
We all know how this story ends. The Allies win the war, Germany is split, and the face of the world changes. But what happened to those secret projects? Did they actually even exist? Was Hitler on the verge of using the Nazi bell to change history forever? And if so, where is it now? Join us as we go behind enemy lines and ring out the truth next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that wasn't around for World War II, but if we were, we'd definitely have wanted to serve under Brad Pitt. This is Hysteria 51.
Once we're in enemy territory, as a bushwhacking guerrilla army, we're going to be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Well, John, you can serve under Brad Pitt. I'll serve with him. How's
Thank
that
you.
Sound?
Thank you. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I'm your host and guide on this mission. My name is John Goforth.
Now, I'm the direct descendant of the mountain man Jim Bridger. That means I got a little engine in me.
Alongside is my co-host and your other guide, Mr. Brent, Lieutenant Aldo Rain Hand.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but I sure as hell didn't come down from the goddamn Smoky Mountains, cross 5,000 miles of water, find my way through half of Sicily, and jump out of a fucking aeroplane to teach the Nazis lessons in humanity.
Another week, another Nazi topic. We just can't seem to get away from them, can we?
It's like reptilians. They had their fingers in so many pies, they just come up in every story. Why do I keep saying non-sexual things that sound sexual?
Plus, there just aren't a ton of examples throughout modern history of leaders with these kind of resources that will spend them pursuing the paranormal. There's plenty of horrible, murderous dictators, but most of them also didn't believe that the world was hollow and they used dowsing rods and things like that. There's a lot of people that do that usually just don't get to that echelon of power.
Plus, it's always fun to talk about how those meat sacks were destroyed.
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 Nazi scalps. And I want my scalps. And all y'all will get me 100 Nazi scalps taken from the heads of 100 dead Nazis.
That other voice you're hearing is the third wheel of this show, and I mean that in every sense of the term. It's Conspiracy Bot.
Third wheel is the best wheel.
I created C-Bot to simply help with this podcast and make our lives easier, and he actually hurts the podcast and makes our lives more difficult.
But I'm so damn cute.
Not the word I would use.
I've got some words for you.
Speaking of C-Bot, how's the stand-up career going? From what I was hearing, you had a kind of a bad run of shows, bombing a little bit.
My shows weren't bad. The audiences were. If you can't laugh at a dead puppy joke, what can you laugh at?
So it's safe to say that the honeymoon with Alan Tom Allen is over. The host of that videotape set that you got all inspired by, what was it called again?
Unlocking Your True Comedic Potential, A Guide to Not Letting the Meat Sacks in Your Life Hold You Back. I still like the title, but I'm not sure about the guy. Maybe I'll have him on the show and we can grill him.
Sounds like a plan, C-Bot. And speaking of guests on the show,
Guess who's back, C-Bot? Your favorite.
Pecker.
Oh.
His name is Pecker.
Speaking of grilling, can we literally grill Pecker?
I think he means he wants to, like, put you on the barbecue grill.
Yeah, not, like, ask you lots of questions.
No, I caught the gist of it, guys. Like, it's...
No. We're doing a new thing where we explain all the jokes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hilarious. Hilario, one might say. So, question. So, what do you think they're going to find when, like, all of the zaniness is over and Kim Jong-un is gone, like Hitler is gone? Like, what are they going to find out he was researching? Like, how to create the world's largest submarine sandwich? Like,
what's better than charcoal in your underwear to stop the fart smell?
Yes. And by the way, word on the street is they have discovered it. The South Koreans are claiming that they've figured it out.
I hear it's red mercury.
If you want a chili bowl haircut, what's the best chili bowl to get it with?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to steal a joke from someone.
Hey, you're like Conspiracy Bot.
Exactly. But if you know who Bob Einstein is, he's the guy who was, you know, Super Dave. He asked Jerry Seinfeld, he goes, hey, quick question for you. How fast do you think the guy who gave Kim Jong-un his haircut, and when he spun him around to take a look, how fast did he get executed?
I do think, because, I mean, I think there's an obvious amount of inbreeding going on in that family.
No.
Interesting. I think that his pursuits are probably not as... epic in nature. Like, he's trying to, how can, all right, I want someone to bring me a bag of Doritos where not one chip is broken.
Ooh, interesting.
I'm going to get 50,000 on Double Dragon.
I'd buy that for $1.
You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
I'd buy that for $1.
I mean, we're just coming full circle.
Good job, it's unbelievable. This show, by the way, the evolution of this show is like within 2 years, it's only going to be lead-ins to clips. It's going to be like the people who communicate via emoji.
Yeah.
The whole show is just going to be clips. With
who do you think will be influencing it?
Who was it? Who could it possibly be? Was it? Oh, I don't know. Say it.
I can't help it. I like playing clips. Robot.
You know what? We'll give you a buy on that one. I haven't heard that in a while.
We're going to take C-Bot's soundboard away. We just have to.
And I'm going
to
need you to put him way up inside your butthole.
All right. I deserve that.
All right. So Nazi super weapons.
Let's give them a primer on super weapons in general before we dive
in. We've already given them enough primer on Nazis.
So actually, I would like,
episode after episode.
I want to hear what's the line between a weapon and a super weapon. I mean, you know, is like, is an F-16 a super weapon?
No, because it doesn't use red mercury.
I see.
Or blood magic.
So we all know old Hitler had a penchant for the insane. I mean, that's a given. And he spent vast resources pursuing rumors, legends, and myths. That was one of his more charming features. And while Hitler thought all those more outlandish ideas were going
only
to...
on this show will you hear someone put charming and Hitler in the same sentence.
And I think that is, compared to the other things he did,
good point. It was a fair assessment.
I'm not disagreeing.
I mean, that was the nature of Mein Kampf.
Yeah, so these outlandish ideas he thought were going to help him win the war, take over the world. And people believe that his vast expenditure of resources on these things were all part of the reason Germany and the Axis actually lost.
You see, Richthofen, you're losing the war because you invest in this nonsense instead of gunpowder and vodka. That's why we'll beat you.
Thank God he did spend his money on that stuff.
We've touched on some of these actual weird pursuits on this very show, John.
Right. On our Hollow Earth episode, we covered how Adolf sent men and resources to Antarctica to find the entrance to the Hollow Earth.
Where they live now.
No. Where they either died.
No, where Elvis lives now.
Are you saying Elvis was a Nazi? I'm so confused.
Dun, 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 dun. No, where they either died of exposure or were captured by the Allies or returned empty-handed.
Or killed by reptilians.
You magnificent, dumb and misled, but magnificent bastard.
Died from exposure, John? Brent, where's the thermostat?
See, but I don't think I don't think that works that way. I mean, just like knives, rat poison, and my welding equipment, you don't get to play with the thermostat. Anyway, as we were saying, we also talked about the Nazis' non-traditional pursuits of power, and on the occult episode, for example, Hitler thought he could use dark magic to help the Third Reich come to power.
Right. They were going to create super soldiers out of dead bodies, use hellhounds somehow, and, oh, they were going to find the Spear of Destiny. Mm,
but Hitler wasn't done when it came to messed up ways to take over the world. A secret hole in the earth and the help of zombies wasn't enough. No, you need science.
It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science? Is that possible?
Enter Der Reese.
Der Reese.
Sam! Dropping zombies since 1945. Oorah.
No, C-Bot, not the Nazi zombies map on Call of Duty.
So has Allied bombing of the Reich resulted in increased destruction of critical factory areas and disruption of the manufacture of these Hitler's Wunderwaffe or wonder weapons?
My favorite of the Wunderwaffe was the ray gun, followed closely by the thunder gun.
I got the ray gun. Awesome.
Call of Duty,
the Nazis began to move these and other critical sites underground, which seems like something they would have done in the beginning. But hey, glad they didn't. And one such tunnel project was begun in 1943 in the Owl Mountains area of Lower Silesia. This area was part of Germany pre-1945, but is now in Poland, and several separate tunnel systems have been identified, all falling under the overall project name Reese, or Giant.
The Giants.
Yeah. The exact purpose of these tunnel systems remains unclear today, and is a subject of considerable debate, as is with most things with the Nazis. Some or most of these systems may have been planned to be connected into this huge complex, possibly serving several different functions. They actually use these, and then in the Western United States under Dulce and stuff like this is
Those are not connected, Brent.
Like I said, magnificent bastard. So one purpose was thought to be the continued development of Hitler's wonder weapons, or an entire list of super weapons thought possible, at least by Hitler, to take over the world were going to be developed there. So we'll get in the entire list on another episode. Today, we're talking about the Nazi bell.
Hitler's shining star of the Wunderwaffe.
We found it. It was hiding right here in plain sight. So
yeah, who knew when you ring the Nazi bell that an attendant would come up to check you into your room at the Congress Hotel?
your rude comments.
Oh, welcome. May I take your bag, boss?
It's a wonder weapon.
Do you have a Nazi bell here? No, we don't. But if we did, it wouldn't have been on your floor.
Is that a wonder weapon, or are you just happy to see me? That's what Hitler said to Himmler.
No,
I'd like to believe that that's how Hitler talked.
Hello, I'm from Germany.
That's exactly how Hitler talked.
So, John, what is this Nazi bell?
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
No, C-Bot, not that kind of bell at all. Though it was thought to be shaped like that.
That's right.
The Nazi bell, or Der Glock.
Bells! The bell!
Oh, yeah. So we only recently learned about the Nazi bell. First, it was actually first mentioned in Igor Witkowski's book, Pravda und Wunderwaffe, The Truth About the Wonder Weapon.
Was Witkowski, wasn't that the name of the guy in Transformers that discovered
that's
Megatron?
That's Nicky.
Oh, Wit-Nicky.
Wit-Wiki.
Oh,
Wit-Wiki. Sorry. Oh, well. It's probably his German counterpart, right?
Yes. Actually, it's pronounced Witkowski in Germany.
I'm partial to Spike Wit-Wiki, not this whole crap TV movie crap.
I think Witkowski, though, would actually be Polish now that I'm thinking about it.
Idiot. He wrote that he first discovered the existence of it by reading transcripts of an interrogation of a former Nazi SS officer named Jacob Sporenberg.
Yeah, according to Witkowski, he was shown the classified transcripts in August 97 by a Polish intelligence contact who's just like, hey, check this out.
I got these
laying around.
But he was only allowed to transcribe the documents. He was not allowed to make copies.
Yeah. It was exactly like Joseph Smith.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can look at it, but Moroni said you can only transcribe it.
So there's no evidence whatsoever to the veracity of his statements.
You can cut that, by the way, if you guys have a large Mormon following.
No. I don't think we're huge there. No, no evidence whatsoever.
I've never even been to Mormon.
No evidence whatsoever. But they reached a wider audience when they were retold by British author Nick Cook, who had his own views to Witkowski's statements in his book, The Hunt for Zero Point, which was a book about various forms of free energy.
Let's get into the description of what this thing was, this bell. Scientists working for the SS in Deris, or the Giant, this underground facility.
Is it kind of like the Pedway in Chicago?
That's exactly what it is.
Is there a Wunderboss in the Pedway?
Mayor Emmanuel is working on his own weapons.
Yes, people around the clock.
Yes.
The pedo weapons. Noted. So this bell is described as being a device made out of hard, heavy metal, approximately 9 feet wide and 12 to 15 feet high.
It's made out of Metallica.
Hard, heavy metal. Like, are there a lot of soft, light metals?
Well, I mean, mercury,
aluminum.
Mercury, aluminum, yeah.
Aluminum, though, isn't necessarily soft.
Well,
mercury is pretty heavy. It's just liquid.
I think the reason they're saying
if it wasn't soft, how would I wrap my food in it?
And
Yeah. Figure that out.
I thought that was tin foil.
No, I buy aluminum foil.
So your hat's not working?
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Zinged it.
See, Bot, I think we're going to let you kick him out. I think we're going to go ahead and do that.
All right, see you guys.
Nah, I'm good.
No, you're just drunk.
You're literally a bottle and a half in already.
C-Bot likes the oil. I know what to give him.
According to an interview of Witkowski by Cook, the device contained two counter-rotating cylinders, which would be filled with a mercury-like substance that was violet in color, and this metallic liquid was codenamed Serum 525.
In English, that's Serum 525.
And was stored in a tall, thin thermos flask, a meter high, encased in lead. Now,
that'd be a bad day for you if you brought your own thermos to the office and
you forget which one.
Yeah.
Man, I picked the wrong day to have tomato soup. So this serum,
I have some indigestion.
This serum 525 is, they stated, not a known element. And a lot of people say, because of the descriptions of it, that it's the aforementioned red mercury, which is something that they think is created in the creation of atomic weapons and things like that.
I was going to say, I read some different things where there are some theories, based on, obviously, it's all
It's one of those
unusual.
Things they know it exists, but we don't have it.
There's theories of, like, what that could have been. The liquid
ancient alien
described.
Theorists theorize.
Suggest, yes. A violet liquid? But I have read, like, where they're like, here's different things it could have been that creates a radioactive, like, potentially.
And it seems like, it seems like the red mercury is the go-to. They think that if this was a real thing, that's probably what it was. So in the book Hitler's Suppressed and Still Secret Weapons, Science and Technology, Henry Stevens concludes that the violet mercury-like substance described by Witkowski could have been, like I said, red mercury because of
could
normal.
Could only have been mercury.
Normal mercury has no fluid compounds according to conventional wisdom. I like how he put that in.
I don't even know what does that mean.
It means Sasquatch knows how to use it.
Means we don't know how, but some people have claimed that it has it. We just don't know how to unlock it.
What does it mean, right? Has no fluid compounds? I thought mercury was like,
when you're talking about a metal, when it's liquid, the term
is different than an actual,
like,
being
fluid
liquid.
You know, is based on viscosity. It's the scientific term fluid.
I see what you're saying.
Is not a synonym
it
for
is
liquid.
Not, is not the same as being
exactly.
Yeah, got it.
So
I just want to talk about noble gases, frankly, because everything involving elements that's noble, I want in.
Additional substances said to be employed in the experiments referred to as Lichtmetall or light metal included thorium and beryllium peroxides.
So thorium is radioactive.
And we're going to find out that supposedly this whole thing was radioactive when being used. Wasn't exactly great to the people involved.
Isn't peroxide what your mom put on wounds when we were children?
And it bubbled.
It burned and bubbled?
No, my mom used mercurochrome, which was outlawed because it was just mercury.
Right. Speaking of mercury. I use mercurochrome sometimes, but we also had peroxide around. Like, well, I feel like they were just
that was hydrogen peroxide,
other.
Not beryllium peroxide. A little different.
I see.
But thorium is in its normal state.
It's Asgardian in nature, right?
Yes, thank you.
So Witkowski describes the Nazi bells having an effect zone extending out from 490 to 660 feet. So with,
very specific. Why not just round to 500 feet?
Because it's scientific, John. You don't round.
Yeah. So like within measuring zone, fluidity, John.
Within this zone, crystals would form in animal tissue, blood would gel and separate, while plants would decompose into a grease-like substance.
I hear the Krauts were interested in energy weapons. Those pussies don't like lead, I guess.
See, the plant part to me just sounds like what Hardee's does. Like when they're making your food.
The clip though had a good point, man. They really liked their energy weapons.
Well, who doesn't?
So Witkowski also said that 5 of the 7 original scientists working on the project died in the course of the tests. Like you said, thorium and things like that, they're radioactive.
Well, yeah, the only way to find out if something is going to gel your blood within 500 feet or so is to be within 500 feet and get your blood gelled.
Now these guys didn't die of that. That was only from 490 to 600. That's out 660. These guys were just close in. They were safe from that. They died of cancer because and radiation poisoning.
Well, my phone's causing me cancer right now. So, I mean, here we all are.
Unlimited power.
So
wait, how do you know they died of cancer?
Because it said online that radiation poisoning. I don't even know that they existed. I'm just saying what it said online.
Yeah, no one even knows if these guys were real.
No. I mean, like, it's like a long-term death.
Radiation poisoning.
Well, there are cancers though that kill you very quickly.
That's what they're saying. Like, they didn't die like immediately. Like these guys that went and encased. Chernobyl and the sarcophagus that died within weeks because their body ate away. These guys didn't die that fast. They were just saying that they died relatively quickly. Allegedly. I'm not saying that they even really existed. I'm just saying that's what I read.
I'm saying that.
Well done. So
just trying to contribute.
Based on certain external indications, right? The guy states that the ruins of a concrete framework, aesthetically dubbed the Hinge, in the vicinity of the Der Ries, or the Giant, 1.9 miles southeast of the main complex, may have served as a test rig for experimentations with the bell. Meaning, there's this ring of concrete, it's archways, and they go, oh, look at this, they chain the bell down there, where other people go, actually, that was the base of a water tower they used for cooling purposes, and those are all over Europe, and that's just normal ruins.
So I saw a bunch of photos of the ruins of actual industrial cooling towers and the supposed Henge. You can certainly see how people would argue that it is a industrial cooling tower, and you can also see that it is not identical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To those other cooling towers.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my top 3 Hinges in the world.
How deep is your list?
So it goes Stonehenge, Der Ries, and then the one on my basement door. That hinge.
So it goes 3 deep.
Yeah, 3.
Okay, cool.
One might say 3D.
That's pretty awesome.
Great. Good talk, Russ.
What about the North American Stonehenge? You don't know about that one?
Oh.
Up in British Columbia?
That's right. And all the hinges that now pop up with crazy writings like the Georgia Guidestones.
Georgia, I was just about to say. Another Stonehenge.
And we all know that Stonehenge is actually the toenails of
the Easter Island heads.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got this thing that we've described to you that we don't know what it is, yet we haven't told you. And there might have been...
We've told you one possibility.
There might have been a hinge that was used to control or steady said thing. So far, sure, other than the fact that, you know, they might have used chemicals that aren't known to human yet. Everything else sounds like the stuff they were doing, killing scientists and not getting stuff done. I mean, I'm on board so far with this thing.
And it makes sense that you would need the hinge or something like it to test it out, because you can't test it out inside, like under, you know, in their underground bunker.
Yeah.
Like something that's going to have that kind of power, you're not going to do inside right. of your facility.
Isn't it in a lot of ways, like in that regard, isn't it in a lot of ways they kind of compare it to CERN, to the Hadron Particle Collider? Of
they
like,
absolutely.
You have to have it in a similar type.
So we're going
to
get into that.
If you place a picture side by side of the Hadron Collider and the Aztec calendar, there's an eerie similarity between the two.
You know, when he gets drunk, I think that's the only drop he knows how to play.
So we're actually going to get into that. And this has a lot to do with CERN. CERN is going to come into this quite a bit. CERN, who people think about now, founded in 1954. So not a new thing, not a new thing.
Only exactly 6 years after the end of World War II.
So
the interesting.
The
nine 7 years.
9 years. 45. And that was, what, 54?
48 was when.
45.
Official. Oh, 48 was the UN. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So that's the Nazi bell. It turns your blood to gel and melts your crops and maybe even have nuclear capabilities. You get cancer, you die, you melt, whatever. What if these reports are wrong and it wasn't a weapon at all? Like, it's not like they're not just turning it on to do that. And that's just a byproduct.
Right. They're not just trying to clear a path through a battlefield.
Yeah, those are just side effects of the true purposes, which was way crazier than that. We're going to dive down that rabbit hole. And it goes deep, my friends.
So and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
When we come back with more Hysteria 51.
You think Hitler would have taken the red pill, right?
Hitler for takes sure.
Hitler
pills.
Took all pills at all times.
So you would have taken the blue and the red?
Yes.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials.
To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I just think it sounds like a really good waffle. What are you having for breakfast? The Wonder Waffle.
The Wonder Waffle.
That sounds good. Does it come with whipped cream? I'd like it on the side.
No, but it comes with a side of schnitzel.
Oh, that's the worst.
Does it come with whipped cream? I'd like mine on the genocide. Oh.
I'm laughing, but I'm crying. It just got silent. Like, no one's like, I don't know what to say now.
Classic conversation stoppers.
That's why we keep Joe around.
Are there any podcasts that need co-hosts?
So, John, we talked about what this thing did to people. Joe, you know that it's going to gel your blood.
What, this podcast?
And it's, yeah. And it's gonna turn your salad into a black, greasy mess. What things could it have been? I'm going to tell you guys. I'm going to lay some knowledge on you.
You just asked yourself a question.
Yeah, you know,
there's two other people and a robot.
I'm used to having to talk to myself and answer myself because, you know, I'm usually the only one qualified to answer.
Well, it's where this is all headed.
He does talk to himself a lot, but he is not the qualified one.
What other uses did this thing have? Well, it might have just been a good old-fashioned time machine. So we mentioned Henry Stevens before in his book, Hitler's Suppressed and Still Secret Weapons, Science and Technology. That's a hell of a title. And then he presents a story attributed to German scientist Otto Cerny, which is the most German name ever, which alleged that a concave mirror on top of a device, which seemed similar in description to the Nazi bell, provided the ability to see images from the past during the operation. Now, if you remember, in our time travel episode before, we talked about how the Vatican and the Pope and all them had the device to be able to look into the past. And it was like a mirror type thing and they could see.
Did you
just
call the Pope a Nazi? That was not the current Pope. That was the last one.
No, he actually just described both Hitler's Third Reich and the Pope having the ability to watch film on TV. It's like looking into the past.
I mean, of the abilities that you can draw from these magnificently powered weapons, being able to look into a mirror and see something from a while back, not all that impressive.
Unlimited power.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I guess if you want to go back and watch, you know, Jesus get crucified at the cross, you can say, I told you so. Or you want to watch, you know, that threesome you had in college over and over and over.
Well, but here's the thing.
Is
the nature of it that they only saw random things that it would show? Because otherwise, like, all of the work they were doing to locate the Spear of Destiny, just go look at the last guy who had it.
Any good wunder weapon has a tuner. I mean, you can just dial it right.
UHF or VHF? You had to do the two different dials?
Turns out Hitler was really bad at misplacing his keys.
Okay, everyone, the Fiola lost his keys again.
Otto, fire up the Wunderwas.
Yes, last night, 7:30, 8 p.m.
I had too much schnitzel and what did Germans
Schnapps.
Drink?
Schnapps,
that's a...
No, a false alarm. I found them in the pocket of my balloon pants. My pantaloons had them.
Sorry, Barry. You have cancer now. I found the keys.
1940s Germany. It was a silly place.
We're laying a thick on you with these theories of this thing being a time machine. And how did it work? Well, we talked about they had these rotating discs that were filled with red mercury or serum 525 or whatever
that's
the hell.
Serum 525 in English.
Alchemy thing they got going on would rotate in a suspension. And of these light metals, that thorium we mentioned earlier, radioactive crap. And, you know, through science and enough energy, it would release a... Wait for it. A wormhole. Yeah. It was a stargate, thus time travel. Well, but instead of going to a place, you're going to a place in time.
I mean, as we all know, if you do enough science, you'll always be able to open a wormhole.
That is true. Now, I mean...
And enough weird metals and liquids mixed together, rotating in various ways, energy. It all makes sense.
Especially if Kurt Russell was involved.
Yeah, and James Spader. You can't have enough James Spader.
No. No, no one can. No one but can.
I mean, it's one of those things where if you could have a time travel thing, but it gave you cancer and you died of radiation sickness in the process, we'd still use it. All right. Let's not be crazy, and especially the Nazis would.
Let's skip over the whole sciencey part of it. What if they did have a working time machine? All right, what happens if Hitler has a time machine as the Allies are closing in?
I can tell you right now what would happen. I can't contain it any longer. In time,
everything will be all right. C-Bot's literally drunk and passed out. We had to take care of that.
Well, the thing is, like,
but what would it, like? So I mean, are we living in Nazi controlled America right now?
Well, here's the thing. What if they were just figuring it out? Okay. And like Joe had kind of alluded to, maybe they didn't have the bells and whistles worked out. They couldn't really,
the bells.
They couldn't really figure out how to dial it in. Well, we're going to get into a crash of a quote unquote UFO that happened a few years later in good old America. Maybe that was just they turned that bastard on and blunk, it plops down and crashes, you know, 20 years into the future. And that was the end of it. But they were on to something, maybe. And the Allies got it. And now we're still working with it. I mean, these are things that people say actually really happened. So they turn it on and it goes into the future and it crashes and the people die. So they didn't exactly get to take part in said time travel oddities, but
I mean, it would explain how uneventful the 50s were. I mean, really, all we really got out of the 50s was the interstate highway system.
That's a few sweet cars.
Yeah. Like, that's about it. Like, it might actually explain it.
He's got my vote.
McDonald's.
Yeah, was Croc running around in the 50s? I don't know.
Well, the other thing, John and Joe, is if it's not
delicious,
if it's not a time machine or not a straight up time machine, well, it's probably a UFO. That's whatever is going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Who thought it was a UFO? Like, what's the story there, John?
So others think the Nazi bell was a UFO being developed by Hitler and his goons.
So that's what it was planned to be, you're saying?
From the get-go. Everyone's favorite UFO disclosure expert, Dr. Stephen Greer, believes this. Listen to this clip from Ancient Aliens.
There's a great deal of evidence that suggests that the scientists, including Hermann Oberth and Wernher von Braun and others, were working on a bell-shaped craft that was electromagnetic in its propulsion system.
So the best evidence of it being a UFO might be an alleged UFO crash in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania in the 60s.
Which we're going to work into this, because this actually goes wrong with the whole time machine thing to me too. But tell me about this UFO aspect of it, John.
Well, before you do, I just have to ask one question. If they were developing it, how could it be a UFO? They identified it,
but we didn't.
They built
but
it.
We didn't.
So it was unidentified to the spotters.
It's like, what was the old TV? Which station was it that had, if you haven't seen it before, it's new to you. Yeah. Is that TBS?
Or all my favorite.
That was UHF.
Or all my favorite 80s wrestlers from parts unknown.
And honestly, you know, we always make the distinction. Everyone, you understand that UFO just means unidentified flying object. We all make that distinction just so we can talk through these things on this show. But in reality, in today's, the parlance of today's nomenclature, UFO has come to mean a flying saucer.
Actually, I think UFO just means unidentified flying object. Still to this day, to me, it does.
No, I don't agree. I think when you say UFO, a certain image comes in people's minds.
So it does, but they're still using it at, like with the UFO, like when we just watched on CNN and stuff like that. And they kept saying, remember, this does not mean alien. This means unidentified flying
object. And they wouldn't have to say that if that image didn't come to their minds.
What you're saying is 100% accurate, Brent, but I'm with John on this one. Like, I think to me, the nail in the coffin was, when the whole, you know, government report that just came out of like admitting that the U.S. government has researched quote unquote UFOs, the minute they start saying that, like that was it. Like everyone, that's just what everyone thinks.
But yep. It also doesn't help that they also said, yeah, the guy comes out and says, yeah, this is stuff that I think is from outside of this planet. And we have down crash pieces of metal and things like that we're studying.
Well, so. What we've got to do, we've got to get underneath Hangar 18 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. God, I'm working on it, guys. I really am.
You need to keep working on that.
I'm working on it.
But speaking of craft not from out of this world, the Nazis might have been working on their own UFO. So on the 9th of December, 1965, what was described as a large fireball was seen by thousands of people across six states, eventually coming down in the woods in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, a small town approximately 30 miles south of Pittsburgh.
The greatest of all cities.
Okay.
Just want to make sure everyone knows.
Is it just because of Pimanti Brothers?
It's the best.
Partially.
Okay.
But it's also, I mean, I would definitely say that there's some pretty good evidence that this crash really happened, because within 10 years, Pittsburgh had developed the technology to mutate humans into the greatest football dynasty in the history of the NFL.
Okay, that's enough. It was thought initially that the object was a meteor, but closer to the site of the crash, it became seemingly apparent that it was something else. Witnesses stated that they saw the object land in the woods and that it appeared to be moving erratically instead of simply crashing to the earth. They also stated that there was a loud thud that could be felt and heard when it impacted the ground. Citizens, as well as members of the local volunteer fire department, were the first to arrive on the scene and later reported that they saw an acorn or bell-shaped object buried in the ground where it had crash-landed. They also noted that there seemed to be strange Egyptian-type hieroglyphics around the base of the object, and it was the size of a small car. These are all very similar characteristics to the so-called Der Glock, or Nazi bell.
And then what happens, of course, all of a sudden, here comes the military at the crash scene.
No.
Mainly, but not exclusively, U.S. military. And they immediately seal off and secure the area, tell the people, get the hell out of here. And what do they do? They conduct what's been, you know, a search and rescue operation for all the pieces. And that's it. They take it. And that's all that we officially know. So you got some people, though, they later reported that they could clearly see an object that resembled the shape of a bell being taken away from the area on a flatbed truck.
Because the military said that nothing had been found.
Exactly. And the local Tribune newspaper published a story the next day stating that a UFO had crashed in the woods. And then they ran a story a short while after claiming that nothing had, in fact, been found. That was untrue. It's like Roswell all over again. And officials still claim to this day that nothing had happened. So what I was getting at with that is, going back to this whole, was it a water, you know, a hinge or a water tank base and stuff? They speculated that the Der Glock, the bell, would go in there to be chained to this thing. And then, you know, when these things start spinning, it's anti-gravity and it starts floating. And whether that causes the whole temporal displacement and it goes through time, or rather it's just anti-gravity, these things held it in. This also goes to the fact of, if it was time travel, let's say they're like, oh, I gotta unchain this thing, and they turn it on and it skips to the future in 1964 and it's in orbit and it just comes crashing down to Earth. Like, maybe it wasn't an actual flying object, more of a falling time machine. I mean, if you think of it that way, who knows if that's really what was going on?
So what if it was both? What if it was a UFO that could time travel? Remember earlier we talked about the area in what was Germany called the Giant, where they were working on the bell. Mm-hmm. Well, allegedly, as the Allied military forces pushed their way into Germany, the project and its commander, SS General Hans Kommler, who allegedly was going to defect in exchange for immunity, all disappeared into thin air.
Like just, so many people in that area.
Like, yeah, just gone.
Yep.
Which was weird, because they already had supposedly already had an agreement from Kommler to defect for immunity. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get immunity in this situation, you're part of the SS, you're generally going to take it.
Well, didn't he get the best ever, like, new identity for someone going into witness protection, like as Mr. Belvedere, the star of a hit television show?
Yes, perfect.
From the China, before.
Who cares?
It gets better, though. The plot thickens, doesn't it?
The show?
So then,
oh, the plot.
No, the plot.
So then Kecksburg, Pennsylvania happens. Guess what? Kommler allegedly had family in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. It was a time traveling UFO. I mean, best of both worlds.
Really, clearly. when you look at it, like, well, when you look at it, who the hell knows? But they I'm were working right on some crazy stuff. Okay. And the only unfortunate thing about this, if it wasn't a handed down, you know, told from someone to told from someone, the rest of the story makes sense. They were working on something. They had no idea what they were working with, and a whole bunch of people died. Well, the scientists probably died because Hitler would have killed him when they didn't get the effects that he was looking for anyway. And the fact that you can tack Nazi onto anything, and then when it's paranormal or anything, you have to at least lend it a little bit of credence because they were doing this crazy stuff. It's almost like Bigfoot from last week. Well, I can't really say no. Can't really say yes either. But it could make sense under some things. And then, like, you just put together this whole, you know, maybe it was time travel. Maybe it was a UFO. Maybe it was just something that they were trying to use, you know, to be able to defy gravity. Like, they were trying to make a new jet fighter, and they were defying, you know, hovering technology, and it got away from them.
Or a delicious breakfast pastry, now, like Wunderwaff sounds like.
But what you're talking about, the U.S., they come in, and the Allies, they come in, they storm, and they take all these people. Then right after that, 1954, CERN becomes a thing. We all know that CERN, this particle accelerator, this collider, a couple of rotating circles that are moving in opposite directions, slamming things into, is CERN just the Bell underground? Is it the perfected? We're all these decades later and we've perfected it?
Is this whole fucking thing?
Is it so far-fetched to think something like that? Unfortunately, no, because we all know they're just trying to make a black hole to suck us all into it. I mean, it's just a given.
Fair.
It's so crazy because you can't say no to this stuff. You can't say yes to it, per se, but you can't say no either. And the U.S. government did some shady, shady stuff as far as giving immunity to Nazi officers and things like that in exchange for that Wernher von Braun smarts, you know, you can get us a rocket. Yeah, come on over. We'll look past that whole
rocket. I think it was a recipe for really good bratwurst.
And oh, by the way, the V1, that'll do too. We'll take that
I mean, that's cool. But let's all make sure we're honest about the priorities.
The bratwurst, right.
Now, we don't give a crap about his science. Put him to death. Though I do want to try this right here. Tried these sausages? Come on back, Wernher.
Eat the knackwurst. It's gonna change your life. Try this sauerbraten. God, Germany has the best food names.
They do. Not the best food, but the best food names, certainly.
Joe, what do you think when we're talking about this? Is there any credence to this, or could you think this is something that actually, well, I'll give you two parts. Could this have been something that was real, and could it still be perfected and worked on today with CERN and things like that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's a baseline here, which is, look, like, we all know it. We've talked about it on the show. I was on the show when we talked about Area 51 of like it's real. Governments do secret military testing of technologies, crazy technologies, cool stuff gets developed. I mean, think about how awesome when we were pretty young in the late 80s, early 90s, when like there was rumors, but no one had verified it about the stealth fighter jets that we developed. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, we could have been doing this show talking about how ridiculous and crazy the concept was of a plane that you can't see.
Delta Wing? Come on.
Right. A plane you can't even see. So, I mean, I do think there's some sort of grounding in reality for, like, for this kind of stuff, these experiments, whatever, to exist. I mean, did it happen? I don't know, man. Like, wormholes, like, you know, ways to get into a new world. To me, the most reasonable thing seems to be the whole CERN concept of, like, was it kind of like a particle collider or something like that?
Or did they accidentally create one?
Yeah.
And then they, like, go, well, we just need this on a grander scale.
That's the thing. I mean, it's like you take what we know about what has happened in the US, UK, other places, and then you consider the complete insanity of what was going on in the Third Reich. Like, they're flinging stuff against the wall all day, seeing what sticks.
They thought that maybe we were in a hollow earth, so they would go to specific spots and look up to see what was going on in Britain, because they thought Britain was curled over and above them.
Exactly. But here's what I know. Out of the entire Bell research and experimentation and technology, we got probably the greatest 4 a.m. taco place that you can ever imagine in the Bell.
That will eventually win the franchise wars.
If they keep messing with the Illuminati. I'm going to tell them that right now.
Ask
Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, Charlie Daniels.
Charlie Daniels.
He doesn't like it.
Warn them.
Have you tried the stacker? It's good.
Oh, it's so
good. Dude, I don't know if there's anything there that I don't like.
That's the thing.
That's
it's
a great
almost
point.
Impossible.
That's a great point.
Like, if there is, you just get another version of it. Like, oh, wrap that in a shell.
Or you just take 7 packets of fire sauce and douse it, and it's fine.
Taco Bell, call us. We'll do endorsements for next to nothing.
Like, literally for tacos.
For trade. Yeah.
No. Oh, no. I'll tell you guys right now, I'll fund them endorsing you. I will buy more Taco Bell if they endorse your show.
It's a win. It's a win for them.
Yeah. I'll personally bring Taco Bell every time I'm a guest, which will be never again.
There is no better fast food, is there?
I don't think so.
It depends. Every once in a while, I'll be like, I need some White Castle.
It is off.
Every once in a while.
So now here's the question. Exposed Taco Bell's obvious and direct involvement with Nazi experimentation on the Bell, are they going to release the Sauerbraten taco? Finally, the thing that all these guys got immunity in the U.S. for, are they finally going to put out the recipe?
I am glad they don't get out of their wheelhouse. Like all of a sudden you don't get the Reuben taco and crap like that. Like, you know, as far as they go is, okay, now chicken is the outside of the shell.
True.
Like, that's as far as they go. You don't wake up one day and...
That's pretty far out there.
Fries are coming back, by the way, next month.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you're saying that's only as far as they go.
Also, by
they're
the way,
literally using most people's ingredient as the bowl.
No, that's fair. I guess what I'm saying is they're not going to a completely... new different type of ethnic food,
right?
And trying to incorporate
a lot of other fast food restaurants do. And by the way, next time I'm in Vegas, my fake name is absolutely going to be Reuben Taco.
I'm still going with Otto Cerny. I love it.
Oh, it's a great name.
Like, I don't want a lasagna quesadilla.
So, John, what are you working with? What do you think? I mean,
so I definitely think that, I mean, I tend to fall on the side of they were experimenting with everything and trying everything. Hitler would throw as many bodies and as much money against the wall to get anything done that he could.
Yeah, you saw that documentary Wunderwoman, right? Where they were like,
and I absolutely also believe
This is not nearly as funny as I gave it credit for.
I agree.
It was pretty freaking. But for all of those listening, that was hilarious.
Yeah. If you didn't laugh,
in case you missed it.
Yeah. If you didn't laugh, do so.
I absolutely believe in the Wunderwaff program, the Wonder Weapons. And I think they were met with a certain amount of success. I don't mean that they had zombie soldiers or hellhounds or any.
Of course,
kind
you don't. Also, don't mean that they didn't.
Any kind of. I mean, if they had any kind of truly game-changing technology, the game would have changed, obviously.
Well, they did. They just took the game
into the Hollow Earth, right. Yeah. But all of that said, here's my challenge with the Nazi Bell. Unlike some of the other wonder weapons that we'll talk about in another episode, the Nazi Bell, we only heard about in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Why is it just like literally this one guy talking about it now? And that's why you can always tell when these things pop up, because there's only one source, and that like and you can always tell, because you if you go on the internet and research this thing right now, go to 15 different websites. Every website you go to will have the same 4 paragraphs about it.
Yeah.
Because
that's true.
Because there's no other information. It came from Watkowski or whatever his name was, that one source who wasn't allowed to make copies and just wrote everything down. Now, If it's a conspiracy, obviously he just got lucky and got the inside track on the information, and that's the only reason we know about it.
The problem is, they always go, well, you discredit this because a conspiracy theorist or someone in that field found it. Well, who else is going to get me have it given to them? If I need something written, I'm going to go give it to a journalist. If I need a conspiracy, I'm going to give it to an alien person or something like right. that that's into it. So
that's my biggest problem with it. I tend to fall on the side of these type of things don't just remain hidden for 50 years and then random guy who wants to write a book happens to find it but can't give any proof.
Yeah, it's but not- what if he time traveled directly to 1997 and that's why 50 years went by before it
and just didn't want
about.
To tell us. Yeah, that's a possibility.
It's not hidden. It's buried in Europe. It's CERN. That's they took the technology. The Allies said, oh, thanks for prepping that for us. We'll take it. Now, it's hard to believe, like you said, when you look into something like this and you got one. Hell, even Bob Lazar came forward and they go, oh, well, there really is a place there. And oh, there's going to be a UFO. And they saw one. So, like, there was a lot of credence to, like, other things like
corroborating
that.
Sources.
Exactly. So it's hard to say one way or another, but like I said, just like Bigfoot, you can't say no infinitively because this is in their wheelhouse.
No.
This is 100% well, I mean, I just did. In their wheelhouse, so who knows? But you know what? If time travel and things like that were real, we're either in like Earth Prime where things are working and every time that they make a change, it's changing another world and making a tangent. We're just chugging along, you know, ignorant to it all. Or who knows? It's real hard to believe anything like that, especially when the big gotcha aha is probably just a water tower base, you know, maybe, like you said, it's a little different.
Or we're in a simulation.
That is probably the truth. It makes my head hurt every time you even bring up simulation because that's a heavy, heavy episode.
You know what I would love to be able to do? You know what would be awesome? If there was some choose way that actually worked.
Oh,
if there was a way, yeah, well, that would be really awesome. You know, I'd love to be able to do. I'd love it if there was something like a functioning Ouija board that we could go ask these guys, like what they were building. Yeah. But no, the coward ghosts won't listen to me on the Ouija board.
Maybe
so
next time we needed
option.
To use a Waluigi board.
Where's Google's Ouija board?
Whoa, Google Ouija.
Yes. Everything else they do works.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Elon Musk, once you get on it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Somebody needs to tweet
it.
Tone
down the Mars and focus on hell.
And focus on, yeah, the supernatural. Yeah, somebody needs to tweet at bored
Elon Musk.
You went
straight to hell. I mean, it was supernatural. How about that?
You'll get there one day.
Oh, boy.
And with that, Nation, what do you think? Let us know. Hop online. Go to Hysteria Nation. Facebook, search Hysteria Nation and tell us why Brent is wrong, why I am right, why Joe is just a good-looking dude, and why C-Bot, well, is...
Cool dudes with attitudes.
No, dude, it's a little-known fact, but the listeners think I'm really sexy.
Has anyone said that but you leaving your own reviews?
No, well, they think it.
No, but you leaving your own reviews.
They think it.
Just trying to get him to admit that he's doing it.
We know. Two things that
literally
know about him.
Thousands of people have come up to me telling me how amazing my contributions are to the show.
Yeah, not all those other shithole podcasts. But this good one is a first world podcast right here.
Why can't we get more co-hosts from Norway?
Exactly. It's just a big, beautiful podcast.
That's right.
It's first class.
Oh, if you want to learn more about this beautiful podcast, you can also go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod.
Also, let's give them a little homework. Add one person to Hysteria Nation this week. Let's grow the nation. We have a lot of really active people and we want to grow that. We've had a lot of more people hopping in. Help us. Add a friend. Add someone that you think would be great. You just type them in, add them to the group. Say, hey, everyone, here's someone new. We'll include them. We'll make them one of us. Google gobble. one of us. And while you're joining things, don't forget, you can also join Patreon if that's up your alley. We've got lots of prizes. I don't know if that's the word.
Stickers?
Stickers. Yeah. You can get stickers hand drawn. pictures from us. You can get
to be clear, the stickers are not hand drawn.
You can be a guest on the show. You can pick the topic. Lots of things.
Don't you guys have buttons now? Which, by the way, are phenomenal.
They are awesome. And you can go to Hysteria Nation. There's a link to our buttons on there. We'll post that up again for everyone to see them because they are really, really pretty badass. And don't forget, if you want to hear yourself on the show, leave us a voicemail. What's that number, John?
773-669-7277. Once again, that is 773-669-7277. Leave us a voicemail. You will hear your voice on this show.
And if you can't remember these things, don't forget to go hysteria51.com, the improved, not so new, but definitely improved site from what it used to be. Check it out. You can see our ugly mugs. You can play the episodes from there. You can spin the wheel of conspiracies. You can find links to buy our t-shirts and swag and awesomeness and all those things. Tell a friend. Bring him in Hysteria Nation. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth hand joint.